The creator discourse to Malunkya Sutta, Maha Malunkya Sutta. Thus have I heard, at one time the Lord was staying near Savatthi in Jetaguru in Anathapindika's monastery. Then the Lord addressed the monks, saying, "Monks, revered one," these monks answered the Lord in assent. The Lord spoke thus, "Do you, monk, remember that I taught you about the five fetters binding to the lower shore?" When this had been said, the venerable Malunkya Buddha spoke thus to the Lord, "Yes, I, revered sir, remember that the Lord taught that there are five fetters binding to the lower shore. But do you, Malunkya, remember it as it was spoken by me when I taught you about the five fetters binding to the lower shore?" "I, revered sir, remember that the Lord taught that false view of the own body is a fetter binding to the lower shore." "I, revered sir, remember that perplexity, clinging to rites and customs, desire for sense pleasures, malevolence is a fetter binding to the lower shore." "It is thus that I, revered sir, remember the five fetters binding to the lower shore as taught by the Lord." And then Buddha asks, "And about whom do you, Malunkya Buddha, remember that I thus taught the five fetters binding to the lower shore? Would not wanderers belong to the other sex? Child you with simile of the baby." You see that what he is actually saying, that these five fetters binding to the lower shore is that, so there are 10 fetters. Then these five, if someone get rid of these five, then he will be, he won't be returning to this world. So,
what does it mean, the five fetters? Is it in Pali or Sindhi?
Panch Aurambiya Sangyojana. The Sakai, the Tivichikicha, Silabhata Paramasa, and then the sensuous Kama, Kama Chande, and the anger. So he's just saying these five are the fetters. It is like, you see that if someone says about the five aggregates, if someone says five aggregates is the problem, that is matter, feeling, perception and original formation and consciousness, that makes no sense. Matter is there, that's it. It is the clinging to that one is the issue. Likewise, this the clinging to these fetters is the problem. So that's what Buddha is actually explaining. So if you take a baby, for Malunkya, if they were not own body for an innocent baby boy lying on his back, whence could there arise for him view of own body? A leaning to the view of own body indeed lies latent in him. See, the baby boy lying back on his back, he hasn't got any idea about my own body. And so how can the view for him that arise that there is own body? And Malunkya Buddha, if there were not things for an innocent baby boy lying on his back, whence could there arise for him perplexity about things? A leaning to perplexity indeed lies latent in him. These things are actually the Dhamma things, is the Dhamma, the mental states and all those things. And then Malunkya Buddha, if there were not habits for an innocent baby boy lying on his back, whence there could arise for him clinging to rites and customs, Silabhata Paramasa, a leaning to clinging to rites and customs indeed lies latent in him. And then the next one is Malunkya Buddha, if there were not sense pleasures for an innocent baby boy lying on his back, whence could there arise for him desire for sense pleasures among the sense pleasures? A leaning to attachment to sense pleasures indeed lies latent in him. So the baby boy, baby do not have this sense pleasures to talk about, think about. Malunkya Buddha, if they were not beings for an innocent baby boy lying on his back, whence could there arise for him malevolence towards beings? Because he is not thinking about this person, that person and so on. The leaning to malevolence in this light lies latent in him. Now Malunkya Buddha, would not wanderers belong to other sects chide you with this simile of the baby? When this had been said, the venerable Ananda spoke thus to the Lord, "Lord, this is the time, welfare, this is the time that the Lord might teach us about the five fetters binding to the lower shore." When the monks have heard the Lord they will remember. Well, then Ananda, listen, attend carefully and I will speak. Yes, sir, what, sir? The Venerable Ananda answered the Lord in assent. The Lord spoke thus, "Here in Ananda, an uninstructed ordinary person, taking no count of the pure ones, unskilled in the Dhamma of the pure ones, untrained in the Dhamma of the pure ones, taking no count of the true men, unskilled in Dhamma of the true men, untrained in the Dhamma of the true men, lives with his mind obsessed by false view as to own body, overcome by false view as to own body, and he does not comprehend the escape as it really is. From the false view of own body that has arisen, that false view of his own body, resistant, not dispelled, is a fetter binding to the lower shore." So, you can see, Buddha is over here, use the word, the obsessed, that, you know, if they have not heard about the Aryans and not seen the Aryans, like Buddha and the Aryan Sangha, and they haven't heard about this Dhamma, then they actually live the mind obsessed by false view as to own body. So that's the problem. Overcome by false view as to own body, he does not comprehend the escape as it really is from the false view of own body that has arisen. That false view of his own body, resistant, not dispelled, is a fetter binding to the lower shore. So the Pali word over here, that the obsessed, is the pariyuttana. Pariyuttana is actually manifest obsession. This one has got a really big thing in it. And this actually is the sort of problem that we have. And Petakopa Desa explained this one as this. Underlying tendency, understanding is lost through four reasons. There are four reasons that we do not actually penetrate to the Dhamma. What for? First one is the underlying tendency. The second one is the manifest obsession, that is pariyuttana over here. The third one is the fetter, and the fourth one is the assuming, or that is clinging. Here in from the underlying tendency, that is anusaya in Pali, is born the manifest obsession, the pariyuttana occurs. When one obsessed, one is fettered. When fettered, one cling to that one. So it goes in that line. You see that for a pleasurable feeling, there is this tendency to attachment. For a displeasure feeling, there is tendency to aversion. For the neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable feeling, there is tendency to ignorance, lies latent in these three feelings. So because of those tendencies, we have this manifest obsession. You see that having seen something, we construct. We construct something and we obsess with that particular thing. We construct our own because of our tendency, underlying tendency. So you can see that we are just imagining things, seeing things, we construct. Having constructed, we live connected with it. So that fetter arises and then we cling to that one. You know, it's like a dream type thing, dream world. One has constructed and cling to that one. So obsessed by false view, so the view as to this own body is also, we are clinging to that one, we hold it. And so that's the problem. He lives with his mind obsessed by the perplexity, that is doubt. He lives with his mind obsessed by clinging to rites and customs. So the rites and customs is that one would actually follow certain virtue and thinking that because of this virtue I'll be born in the higher realms, and you know that I have this comfort in the future, and clinging to that one and pursue on that one. The doubt is about the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, that whether this is true or false, all those things are the doubt. And again, he lives with his mind by attachment to sense pleasures. So whatever the sense pleasures, because we have these five strands of sense pleasures, eye, ear, nose, tongue and the body. For those ones, there is this pleasurable objects and we think about it, so there is this sense pleasure. And he lives with his mind obsessed by malevolence, anger, overcome by malevolence, and he does not comprehend escape. How to get rid of this one? He does not know the method as it really is. From the malevolence that has arisen, that malevolence of his, resistant, not dispelled, is a fetter binding to the lower soul. But Ananda, an instructed disciple of the pure ones, taking count of the pure ones, skilled in the Dhamma of the pure ones, trained in the Dhamma of the pure ones, taking count of the true men, skilled in Dhamma of the true men, trained in Dhamma of the true men, does not live with his mind obsessed by false view as to own body. Overcome by false view as to own body, and he comprehends the escape as it really is. From the false view of his own body that has arisen, that false view of his own body is got rid of with the leaning towards it. So the anuseya, the leaning towards that one is anuseya dhamma, that tendency is also got rid of with the false view. So false view as to the own body is that when there is this five aggregates, that is matter, feeling, perception, original formation and consciousness, one would actually think that I am, this is mine, you know, this body is mine, the feeling is mine, and there is this view arising out of that one, and then he cling to that that view. So again, he does not live his mind obsessed by perplexity, does not live with his mind obsessed by clinging to rites and customs. He does not live with his mind obsessed by attachment to sense pleasures. He does not live with his mind obsessed by malevolence. Overcome by malevolence, and he comprehends the escape as it really is from the malevolence that has arisen. That malevolence of his is got rid of with the leaning towards it. So the old five he will actually get rid of. And then Buddha said, whatever Ananda is the way, whatever the cause for getting rid of the five fetters binding to the lower show, that one could know or see or get rid of. Is the of the five fetters binding to the lower show, irrespective of that way, that cause, this situation does not occur. So what Buddha saying over here, without knowing the path and the cause for getting rid of that one, that that someone will see these five fetters and know and get rid of will not occur. See, that someone should see the path, the method, how to get rid of that one first, to see and get rid of these things. Just as this situation does not occur, Ananda, that without having cut off, and there is a spelling mistake, or they are cut off the bark of a great stable and pithy tree, without having cut out the soft wood, there can be no cutting out of the pith. Even so, Ananda, whatever is the way, whatever the cause for getting to the five fetters binding to the lower show, that one could know or see or get rid of the five fetters binding to the lower show. Irrespective of this way, this cause, this situation does not occur. But Ananda, whatever is the way, whatever the cause for getting rid of the five fetters binding to the lower show, that one could know or see or get rid of the five fetters binding to the lower show, because of that way, that cause, this situation occurs. Just as this situation occurs, Ananda, that having cut off the bark of a great stable and pithy tree, having cut out the soft wood, there can be cutting out the pith. Even so, Ananda, whatever is the way, whatever the cause for getting rid of the five fetters binding to the lower show, that one could know or see or get rid of the five fetters binding to the lower show. Because of this way, this cause, that situation occurs. So if someone knows about the soft wood and you cut it, and then you can actually read the middle part of it, hard part. If it as if Ananda, the river Gangas were full of water, overflowing, so that crow could drink from it, and a feeble man should come along thinking, having cut across the stream of the river Gangas, using my arms, I am going safely beyond. Yet he would not be able, having cut across the stream of the river Gangas and using his arms, to go safely beyond. Even so, Ananda, whoever, while Dhamma is being taught to him for the stopping of own body, does not rejoice, he is not pleased and composed, he is not freed, even as this to be understood of that feeble man. So the Buddha saying over here, even the when the Dhamma is actually taught, if someone is actually do not have the concentration, composed, you know, the composed to that, that means the three words over here, pakkandati, that is springs forward, you know, he goes up over there, pasidati, pleases that dham, that he pleases with that dham, and satitati, that is to be fixed, So his mind should be fixed to the Dhamma. Otherwise, he won't be able to do this one. So, like a man who is coming and saying, I will cross across this one, he hasn't got any weapons, you know, the concentration is not there for him, therefore he can't actually go beyond that one. But Ananda, if the river Gangas are full of water, overflowing, so that crow could drink from it, and a strong man should come along thinking, having cut across the stream of the river Gangas, using my arms, I am going safely beyond, he would be able, having cut across the stream of the river Gangas, and using his arms to go safely beyond. Even so, Ananda, whoever wise Dhamma is being taught to him for the stopping of own body, rejoices, is pleased and composed, he is freed, even as this to be understood for that strong man. And what Ananda is the way, what the cause for getting rid of these five fetters binding to the lower shore. Here Ananda monk, by aloofness from the clinging, by getting rid of unskilled state of the mind, by allying every bodily impropriety, aloof from pleasures of the senses, aloof from unskilled state of mind, enters and abides in the first meditation, which is accompanied by initial thought and discursive thought, is born of aloofness and rapturous and joyful. So this is actually the first jhana concentration, how one could arrive at the first jhana concentration. So there is this the initial application and sustained application, vitakka vichara. That is, this vitakka is actually the thought of renunciation. Thought of renunciation, thought of nanahami, those are the thoughts, initial application and sustained application. So, getting rid of these sense pleasures, not thinking about those things and thinking about the renunciation, one would, with the seclusion, one would abide in the first jhana concentration, which is rapturous, rapture and joyful. There is a word over here, sankhilita, that is this impropriety word over there, is the bodily impropriety. That is that because of the attachment, sort of aversion, there is this desires, because of desires that his mind is not pure. Because of, so he is actually getting rid of those impure things and going to the state of the concentration. Whatever is there of material shape, feeling, perception, habitual tendencies and consciousness. So those are the five aggregates. He beholds these things as impermanent, suffering, as a disease, an imposthume, a dart, a misfortune, an affliction, as other, as decay, empty, not self. This is actually the Sila Sutta. The part of the Sila Sutta is there, that is the anicchato, impermanent, dukkato, suffering, and rogato, gandato, sallato, agato, abadato, parato, palokato, shunnato, anattato. So it's very important to sort of see this, these things, don't take this one very lightly. And this is where you can actually see the actual actions in this Dhamma occurring in this discourse. So, you see, that person previously had the perception about this materiality, matter, feeling, perception and original formation and consciousness. When it is there, he had the view that there is this I am this, you know, this body is mine, the feeling is mine and so on. Now he actually reached the concentrations, first jhana concentration level, and he actually keep on applying this impermanent nature. It is only by applying the impermanent nature one would see this one. So when one would apply the impermanent nature, what he sees is the rising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. So those are the two that he actually sees. So this is the Samadhi Bhavana Sutta part is coming up now. So, when you keep on doing that one, you would see that matter is actually arising from these things. That is, that I seek delight in form, welcomes it, remain whole into it. Because of that one, that delight arises and the delight in form is clinging as condition, there is existence. Because of the existence, there is this birth. So, now he sees this particular body that I am regarding as this is mine, is also actually arising because of this cause. that my doing, you know, the thinking about this. And he sees this feeling actually is actually arising because of this that same thing, you know, seeking delight in feeling, welcoming it, remaining whole into it. So the delight in feeling arises, so there is clinging. Because there is clinging, there is existence of the very same craving. Because of the existence of the craving, there is this birth. With the birth, there is this eye, ear, nose, thumb, body, and there is this feeling arises. So regarding these five, now he sees this one is not as before, this is actually the cause and effect. And then he actually see how this one actually getting rid of. That is, if I do not seek delight in these things, and welcome it, remain, does not remain holding to it, then there is no delight. With the cessation of delight comes the cessation of this craving, clinging, existence and the birth. So that's the, he sees the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. So having seen this arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena, now his view now getting broken. Now he sees this is just a, like a vending machine changing from one state to another, nothing more than that. So he first see that particular one, and then also he see that dukkato, that is this is suffering. Whatever thing that is changing, it is suffering. That you can see that if there is decay, aging, and death, so it is suffering. So now he see that that is this dukkato, suffering. And then see, he sees this one as a disease. You see that our body is actually really disease. You need to feed it. And you need to earn money and then get food and feed it. And then you need to put it to sleep. All those things are there. And when the disease is actually occurring in our body, then it is more prominent that this is actually a disease. And and the next one is this the gandato, the impostu. And then the dart, sallato is dart. So explaining that one is actually about another, the 30 dhamma over here, the 36 dhamma part. Sallato is that the dart. So what sort of a dart we are talking about? And this dart is regarding this four nutriments. There are four nutriments. Then one is the edible food. Because of the edible food, we get this perversion that there is beauty in the ugly. And because we see that one, then there is this sense desire, assuming. And with that one, there is this bond of sensual desire, the body tie of covetousness, the taint of sensual desire arises, the flood of sensual desire arises. So that is actually getting bigger and bigger, out of control. And then there is this barb of lust, that is the raga salla. That we are only talking about one salla over here, and there are another three. That is this contact as the nutriment, and there is this pleasure in the painful. You see that whatever thing it is actually pleasurable, we think that it is actually pleasurable. That's how we tend to think, and we were not thinking about that this particular pleasure that I am clinging to will create the problem for me later on. So so he is having pursued some sort of a beautiful object, having got some sort of pleasurable thing that he constructed within himself. Now he cling to that one. Now there is some sort of a disaster will happen at that time, or tsunami, or earthquakes, or something bad. Now I was thinking that this world is so beautiful, now it is changing. So because of that change in nature, or having seen someone beautiful or agreeable, and then when that person is replaced by someone who you do not like, and then the anger arises, because that we actually cling into the whatever thing we constructed before and hold into it. So that one grows further, and then we actually we get this bond of being, and the bondy tie of ill will, taint of being, the flood of being, and then the barb of hate. So that's another salla. So you can see this dart part is really big. It's not that, it's only the word over there. That word has a huge meaning inside it. And then mind choice as a nutriment, again that we get the views, and we cling into those views very heavily, and then the barb of views arises. And again this consciousness as nutriment, we have this barb of delusion, moha is happening. So you can see I said about four things happening with the edible food, nutrients. So the dart, and then there's this misfortune affected by so many things that there are this misfortune. And affliction, that is this abadatu, that means that, you know, some people, let's say, having amputated the leg or becoming blind, you know, how think about that someone who is actually affected by these things, how he is actually living. If he can't hear, think for a moment that if we can't actually see, how can you walk? Even we can't come over here, we can't drive cars. So this body is of that nature, and all the other things are also of the same nature. And when we say as other, other means that the parato, that means depending on others. So you can see that we are dependent on the whole thing. We are dependent on the sun, moon, and the rain and all those things. And we are depending on the farmers as well. You know, one person might have $1 billion, but if the farmers are not growing anything, he won't get anything to eat. And a monk, for example, depending on the alms food given by others. We are depending on the our job and all those things. So we are actually immensely paralyzed in that sense that if others are not there, then we can't even maintain. And then as decay is that the paloka, that means that it's disintegrating. Our eye is disintegrating, ear is disintegrating, nose is disintegrating, and all those things are disintegrating. And the next one is the shunyato, empty. So to understand the empty, so each of these actually has got another discourse in Buddhism, right? There are some certain ones has got many discourses. So empty or shunyato, Buddha explained in Chula Shunyata Sutta in middle length saying, well, let's say a monk, in a, he is going to arms round, and then he hear these sounds and all those things, you know, the elephants and whatever, the cows, dogs, they barking and all those things. And then he with the arms, he actually go back to the his Aranya temple. And then having gone there, now he contemplate that over there I had these noises and sort of thing, and over here there's nothing like that one. But that my mind is not empty because of the perception about the temple. So he, whatever thing that is not there, he regards that this is not there. But whatever thing present, he takes that one as his present. So this is empty from that one. And then again, so he actually doing the meditation, he go to the four the element of extensions, great elements of extensions. Now he actually not thinking about that temple as a temple. Now he is thinking about the four great elements. So he can see that his perception now about the four great elements, not about the these things. So he goes beyond that one, and then space is infinite and so on. So finally he actually reached the empty, and he regards this matter, feeling, perceptions, volitional formation and consciousness. Formally he regards as mind and sort of present sort of thing. He can now he sees this one is a mere illusion. And he see this one as empty. And then the last one is the not self, and this is not mine. This is materiality, feeling, all those things are not mine. So there are 11 things over there. It's actually meditation on its own as well. So now having contemplated or having actually seen this one, because he has contemplated before, he turns his mind from these things. And when he has turned his mind from these things, he focuses his mind on the deathless element, thinking, this is real, this is the excellent. That is to say, the tranquilizing of all activities, the casting out of all clinging, the destruction of craving, dispassion, stopping, nibbana. And this is actually in Pali, etan santam, etan panitam, yadidam sabba sankara samuto, sabbu padipati nissaggo, tannakyo virago, nirodo nibbanati. So you see this thing that he now focuses. You see what will happen if you contemplate and then you actually repeatedly you see that these things are actually troublesome things. You know, it's a dart, it's a disease. And you see that this is the rising phenomena. Because of this clinging, this one arises. Only with the cessation of clinging is the cessation of this thing. So he now focuses, having seen that one, having seen the trouble, he now focuses on the deathless element, that is Nibbana. So one got to do this one. You see, if you actually reach the meditation, if you do the contemplation about the suffering, impermanent nature and that one, after doing something, and if you actually see it to a certain extent, yes, this is suffering, then focus your mind to Nibbana. Time to time you need to do that one. But not when you are actually highly active about the Dhamma that you are actually really contemplating, that this is birth is suffering, aging is suffering, and you, if you have not actually seen that one, then there is no point focusing on to the Nibbana. But when you actually see, yes, I agree that there is this suffering, you know, having seen someone in the hospital suffering and that one, and when you agree, then you can actually contemplate about the Nibbana. So only way is this one. So unless you see, unless you see the path, unless you see the light, there is no way for you to go. So first, having contemplated, having seen something, we focus to the Nibbana.
What do you mean focus to the Nibbana?
This is the way. Etan santang, etan panitan. So you actually see, because this one is actually arising because of the craving, the cessation of craving is the Nibbana. So you actually think about that, that cessation is the best for me. It is like this, someone is angry. One particular time someone is angry. That same person, later on, is actually cooled down and he see this, I was angry before. Now I'm not angry and I'm happy. When he was angry, he was not happy. Now he see the difference between that anger state and the angerless state. And similarly for the sensuous desires. Someone having this sensuous desire and all those things, and then he actually see this problem with that one, and then he is now saying that I am calm and I am better, sort of thing. So you can see these are two mundane states that I am comparing. And now think, for infinitely I have constructed these bad things as far as I have been living, and in the future also I will be constructing these bad things. And because of that one, I will have the same effect like this cold, you know, heat, all those things, mosquitoes, gadflies and all those problems, and hunger, thirst, all those problems. And this is not ending. It would be better for me to not to have these things, the cessation of this very same conditions that I am having today. The only way to that one is to give up the craving for the very same thing. So it is not just you are giving up the craving. You are actually thinking that the giving up the craving is the better for me. Okay, if you try to give up the craving, then all the things that you have actually got to do, like your children, a house, jobs and all those things, I can't give up that, I can't give up that one, so then you have a problem. You are thinking that the what is better is this one. So to give up the whole thing will come later with the proper understanding. So you are now thinking that renunciation is the good one. So keep on focusing to that one. So going to the dhyana concentration level and seeing this impermanent nature, suffering and so on, and then focus into the Nibbana. If he is steadfast therein, he achieves destruction of the cankers. That means he is very stable on, fixed on to that particular idea. If he does not achieve destruction of the cankers, taints, then through his attachment to Dhamma, his delight in Dhamma, you see, it's a Dhamma Ragena, that's the word Buddha used over there. Attachment to Dhamma, Dhamma Ragena, and the Dhamma Nandiya. Through his utter destruction of the five fetters binding to the lower shore, he is of spontaneous uprising, one who attains Nibbana there, not liable to return from that world. This Ananda is the way, this is the cause for getting rid of the five fetters binding to the lower shore. So he won't be, he will be attaining either Nibbana right here and now, or he destructs these five fetters, he'll go into the Akhanita or those five realms. He won't be coming back to this world or any other world in that sense. And and again, Ananda, monk, ally align initial and discursive thought with the mind subjectively tranquilized and fixed on one point, enters and abides in the second meditation, which is devoid of initial and discursive third, is born of concentration and is rapturous and joyful. So that's the second meditation level. So you can see the first one has got this initial application and sustained application to Dhamma. That is, he had this thought of renunciation. You see, when he focused to Nibbana also, he's actually thinking, this the renunciation is better sort of thing. So now, having said it many times in his mind, having seen it many times, now he does not need to actually apply that Dhamma anymore. The renunciation, once you have actually agreed to that one, you don't need to reapply of that one. So initial application, sustained application of the same thing is not there for him. And now he has got the rapture and the pleasure, is he's in second jhana concentration. So in the second jhana concentration, there is this rapture present within him. Now it is sort of a trouble for him, because it's flowing through the whole body like a water flowing sort of thing, and it's not stable in that sense. So he get rid of the rapture. He like that rapture to pass away. I don't want that one in that sense. So then he get rid of the rapture and go into the third jhana concentration. Now he's actually pursuing with the pleasure. So the pleasure is that over here is really nice in that sense, that if I give you a simple example, like if you go to a beach where is this light breeze, and if you close your eyes and if that breeze touching your eyelids, you can see you have some sort of peace and not a rough sea. Likewise, that with the third jhana level, there is this immense pleasure one can experience without the rapture, and one would be really happy in that sense. Now, in the third jhana level, that the pleasure is there, there's no rapture, that if you indifferent to the pleasure that has arisen, then you would reach the fourth jhana concentration with the equanimity level. So in all these states, he actually see that those 11 things we discussed, that the impermanent nature, suffering, disease, a dart, and so on, not self. And again, he is actually wholly transcending the perception of material shapes by the going down of perception due to sensory impressions, by not reflecting on perceptions of variety, thinking, ether is unending. So they are actually focusing into the space is infinite. So he is now not focusing to anything in any material things. And he is not angry. So he fixes his mind over there. And having fixed his mind over there, also he sees these 11 things. That is the impermanent nature, suffering nature, and the not-self nature. Repeatedly he sees that one. So again, he is actually a person who is going to the Brahma realms, that not coming to over here, he destruct these five fetters. Again, monk, by wholly transcending the plane of infinite ether, thinking consciousness is unending, enters and abides in the plane of infinite consciousness. So you can see that in the when the space is infinite, he actually used the space as the object to make his concentration arising on that one. Now he does not need that one either. He can actually maintain the equanimity concentration level with the consciousness is infinite. So infinitely one can actually maintain that the equanimity, that's what it is. So over there also he actually see, with the consciousness you have the awareness, but what I am aware of the feeling. I am aware of the feeling, that is pleasure, displeasure and neutral. And he thinks that this pleasure is also constructed. So having seen that one is constructed, he actually get rid of that one as well, go into the plane of nothing. In the plane of nothing also, he actually see those 11 things again. That is this impermanent nature, suffering nature, disease, dart, and emptiness, and then not self. So having seen that one, he actually attain either going to those akanit realm, or by destructing these five fetters, he's either going there, or he attained Nibbana straight over here. So then Buddha said, this Ananda is the way, this the cause for getting rid of the five fetters binding to the lower shore. If this reverser is the way, this is the cause for getting rid of the five fetters binding to the lower show, then how is that some monks here are those who have freedom of mind, while others are those who have freedom through intuitive wisdom, if it is the only way? As to this, Ayana say that there is difference in their faculties. So that means they have developed their faculties so that this the faculties mean not the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. This is the faculty of wisdom and the faculty of faith, concentration, effort, and mindfulness. Those faculties have been developed very well before, because they have done this part before, and you know, the concentration they have contemplated before. Then when they hear Dhamma, they can straight away attain. So they don't have to go through this this path. So so the monks were delighted about this. What Buddha said. So it's a great discourse, quite a lot of substance in it. And Buddha is showing the path, how one can actually destruct these five lower fetters. It is that, you know, it's basically seeing the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena as the key, and seeing the suffering and not self. Repeatedly, if someone sees these things, then he would get rid of the identity view first. Because how, if you see that these all these things are constructed, you wouldn't cling into it. So since someone is not clinging, then he get freed from those views. And it's just by understanding.
Yeah. How someone is in consciousness, is in finite state, contemplating on the anicca, dukkha, rogato, that stage.
Yeah. So over there, he is not actually thinking about materiality. Materiality he got rid of before. You know, when he said we're going there, he is not giving any damn to materiality. He is not thinking, even thinking about it. His problem is the feeling. In the other worlds, you know, you see that there are six divine realms, and there's human realms, and the other lower realms. Over here, that materiality is a big game. The other realms, beyond that one, Brahma realms, is the feeling, is the big thing. They are feeling changes. So when we think about this feeling, you can see if we have the unskilled state of the mind, akusala, in that particular feeling is a very bad feeling. And in the skilled state of the mind, that feeling is a better one. Hina pranita sort of thing. So they get upset about the change of, you see, in the abhasara brahma realm, it is the pleasure, it is the food. Their food is the pleasure. You see, if the feeling is actually changing, their food is changing as well in that sense. So, it's a totally different thinking pattern to our ones in that sense. I mean, it's not completely totally different, because humans are always thinking about the materiality. You know, what I am going to eat, where am I going to sleep, and all those things.
And feeling as well.
Feeling as well. So, therefore, there is a boundary, you know, that... we are mostly doing with the material, over those words, feelings. And the beyond that one, you know, that these are the Brahma words I am talking about. And beyond that one, there is this perception-born body. This consciousness is infinite, is the perception-born body. There is no form. Now, they have actually, if you go for the plane of nothing, for example, they only have the perception. They don't focus on the feeling at all. It's nothing to do with feeling, because they got rid of the feeling, and that's how they reached that plane. So their problem is this changing of perception. Whatever the perception they have, and it is changing.
But they have one perception.
Yes.
That's...
yes. They have one perception, but the perception has got the alterations. You see that we are sustained by this earth. And but there is an alteration to our body. And to the alteration to the earth. So as our form is changing, although we are not straight away dying, that the, whatever thing sustaining that perception is also changing. I mean, the when it comes to dhyana, concentration, what Buddha said is that you can't actually say how much it is. So, for example, you can't say this person's perception is that much and that person's perception is this much. You can't compare. So, Even the meditation time, you can see you have got really good perceptions and impermanent ones, and then you have the suffering perception. They are all perceptions leading towards the Nibbana, but they are not the same. There is a variation in that one. It is because of our construction. Because the perception is also constructed by us from our other five: matter, feeling, perception, original formation, and consciousness. All those five are constructed by our behavior, our habitual tendency, or called volitional formation. How we have actually reached at that state, that's where we construct.
I remember last week you said you had personally seen hell and you knew that it was not a metaphor. These other worlds, have you personal experience?
I have, yes, I have. Anyone can do it if you keep on doing the meditation. You can. I'm not skilled in the neither perception, non-perception level. I can go up to seventh level. So those perceptions, you can't sort of see a world in the neither perception. You know that the plane of nothing. You can't sort of see a world beyond that one. You can see worlds. You know, the materiality and all those things can be seen. So, in the perception level, you are actually only perceiving, nothing else. You are not even paying any attention. This is simply, you are not paying attention. The first, you are not paying attention to matter. Normally, human beings pay quite a lot of attention to the matter. Going beyond that one, you are actually paying attention to the first jhana, you are paying attention to rapture. The materiality is not in your mind that much. And going beyond that one, you are paying attention to the pleasure, not to the rapture. Okay, and in the fourth jhana level, you are not even paying the attention to the feeling. And going beyond that one, you are not even paying attention to this the feeling either. You know, the subtle feeling is there at the high level of conscious concentration. And you are not paying any attention to that one either. So it is just simply your ability to take your mind out of that feeling itself. And you are reaching the perception, the plane of nothing, for example. But there also you are perceiving something. What you are perceiving, you see, the one way to achieve that plane of nothing is that you are thinking this matter is not mine, feeling is not mine, perception is not mine, volitional formation is not mine, consciousness is not mine, it is empty, the shunya, emptiness, right? So emptiness has gone and reached very high level. But still, you are perceiving that these things are not mine. There is perception that these are not mine. You see what I mean?
There is perfect.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult to explain, but it is actually if you are not paying any attention. First, you are not paying attention to the materiality and the feeling part, and the perception level. There is a perception. You perceive certain things. And only in the neither perception nor non-perception level, you are not constructing anything. You are actually remaining, you are living with the remainder of the volitional formation.
The perception is something like that, when you, like Kachina Bhavana and all these things, isn't it the perception?
Well,
so you feel everything is blue.
Yeah.
Or everything is all is, the solid.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, you basically, even the Kachina level, that if you actually perceive about the blue, yes, it's going towards that one, but still not there. Because there is some materiality element in that one. Blue is the materiality. And this is actually going beyond that one. It is that, if I take an example, let's say you are in a bottom of a mountain, okay? There's this mountain over there, and you are with someone over here. And you leave that person over here, and you climb up the mountain. And while you reach the mountain, over here that person was so significant, bigger, you know, size-wise and all those things. When you go to the top of the mountain, you see that one is just very small, you know, very tiny. So that features, you are losing anything about that person. The features, when you're actually looking at it, you don't see that one, okay? So you can see that you have very clean perception about that person now. Even someone can take that person and put another person, you may not even notice the difference. Now imagine you fly from the earth, go to a star or something like that, and now you are looking at this earth. Previously earth was really big. When you go to a star, you can see this earth is very, very small, tiny, not even a dot. So what about the people on earth? When the earth becomes very small, people, the houses, everything become very insignificant. You know, tiny, tiny dots and sort of thing. So you have actually reached a certain level that these things are minor for me. At this level of thinking, these are very minor, insignificant things. So you can actually give up your mind about these things at that level. So that's how one would actually sort of perceive in that plane. You know, when you go through the space is infinite, if you contemplate in space is infinite, and let's say you are imagining that you are actually going through this one, don't think about stars or galaxies or whether either human beings are there or anything like that one. You simply fed up about these material things, you are actually thinking about the space. You can see your mind become vast, bit by bit become vast, and you do not actually focus about any materiality. When you take that immense, huge, the space, then anything, you know, around it is insignificant. Like the man who actually went far away and then looking at the earth, become, and then you actually tend to think, well, why we are actually living on this earth as well? You know, we are in a sort of a corner of that sort of a place where the space is so infinite. And this space is infinite is actually to be understood properly. It has 10 characteristics of Nibbana itself in the space is infinite. So if someone knows that one, then he actually sees the value. And you might do not know that you are clinging to the space very well, you know, in your office. If someone is actually coming and putting somewhere in your, you know, that occupying your space, then you are actually saying, hey, take it out, right? At home also, that in your room and somebody, you know, dumping things over there. So we it's like this water is there. We don't cling until that there is no water. And when there is no water, it becoming very significant. Likewise, then you can see that this when your mind becomes very vast at that level, the space is infinite level, that it is so great. The mind is so great at that level. And you don't feel like paying any attention to any material things. And you can try, you know, that this is by Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta in Middle End saying. It's a good discourse to follow in that respect. Buddha says how to attain over there in that sense, you know, by getting rid of this materiality. And so you can go into those worlds. And then you actually see that I'm like a frog in the well or something before. Now I see a different thing. And until I did meditation, I didn't actually think about these other worlds and, you know, that things and the troubles that we are having because of this body, you know, until you see Buddha's discourses and the sort of thing. Yeah, it's just you can open your mind. I'm sure that all of you might have been there before, all long time ago, you can't remember, that's what it is. So we have the potentiality, we have been there, we have been in the hell, we have been in those worlds as well before, and just can't remember, do not know how to go there. You know, it's just the meditation that unless you learn the meditation and techniques over there, this is what Buddha is saying, that person is thinking, I want to cut the pith of this thing. Unless he cut the softwood and all those things, he can't go there. Unless you know the method, you cannot see or know. So the method has been stated over here. So it's a very great discourse in that respect. And when I actually learned this one about 10 years ago, it's really stuck my mind. No, this is really good. This is the way to do this thing.
Now, one question. Now, with all those discussion, what I learned here is now, in basically in Buddhism, what Buddha taught us is to get, that means, get out from this five aggregates, basically.
Clinging to five aggregates.
And One way of achieving is to meditate all those steps, 1 to 7, or 1 to 4, whatever the steps, and reach all those things. But when you get out of the meditation state and you are back to your normal life, where you again cling into all those things. And my question is, do we need to maintain both the real life as well as meditation life together to get rid of the fire, to get of things?
Well, it depends on the person's personal skills. You see, if you do the meditation and then you actually see this is suffering, you know, all those parts, you know, the impermanent nature. Whatever thing you contemplated and have achieved at that particular time, maybe very tiny little dhamma, it remains with you. So next time in the day-to-day life, when you actually see certain things, you are not reacting to those things as before. That's the one thing I can tell. The other thing is that certain feelings that you used to have before and you would like to have today, and for some reason you cannot actually get it or something, now you are not upset about it, because that you have seen the more pleasurable things than those things that we are thinking about. And so you are not angry either. Because that there is another way, that is this the renunciation pleasure is there for me. So we always need something, you know. Buddha is not even asking you to just give it up everything. Okay, Buddha said, this one is better for you. Okay? Here there is pleasure than this pleasure. This is really good. So give up this because of that. Likewise, this renunciation part is there. So you are not actually angry or anything like that one because of these things. So these two are working very heavily, so you are not getting angry. And you are not clinging to those things as before, because you, on one side you see the problem of the clinging. And you see other side that without clinging I can achieve these things. So that refines you very well. So by doing the meditation you become mindful. So you apply the mindfulness in the day-to-day life. So I can remember one time when I do the meditation that my mindfulness sort of last 1 hour. Now I can go to work. When I'm walking, I'm driving, I'm mindful. I'm, you know, this going to the walking, you know, that part is fine. And going to the work, and this half an hour or so, it is sort of mindful as well. Because until other people are coming and, you know, talking quite a lot sort of thing, you are mindful. You know? And then thereafter, then when they talk and all those things, then you become part of that parcel and your mindfulness ceases. And you keep on doing the meditation, then you can see I can stand more than that one, 2 hours, 3 hours, and people are actually talking, but still I'm mindful. Because I'm now actually filtering. My mind is actually inside over here, filtering what they are talking and telling and all sort of things. So I'm sort of...
Mindful means you are in a meditation state, or you are...
Because you have done the meditation before, you are actually filtering and rejecting without you knowing. Sometimes you know in doing that one. Because you see that previously, without knowing, that we used to cling to certain things. Like that diabetic man who did not know he has got the diabetic. And until he go to the doctor, and doctor actually described him, you know, good man, if you eat that one, your leg has to be amputated. So he got that message, you know, he knows about the aging, sickness, suffering sort of thing. So you know that this one is a red hot iron pain. If I touch it, I get burned. Because of that reason, you are actually not doing that one. So these parts are now working. So if you are completely mindful in the meditation time as well as the real time, well, Buddha said you can actually attain Nibbana in 7 days.
So at any time can I ask myself, oh, well, here I am now. Am I now mindful or not? And can I give myself a good answer?
You can.
Right.
You can. If you close your eyes and actually see sort of thing that, you know, the mindfulness, I don't know whether you actually understand the mind.
I don't really understand.
Yeah, it's the meditation that we do on Wednesday. Yeah, it is actually keep on doing, then you can actually understand. It is actually regarding this material thing. You should know the matter as matter. Okay. And you should see the arising phenomena of that matter and the passing away phenomena of matter. So then you have the mindfulness regarding the body, the material thing. Similarly, for a feeling, you should see the feeling and you should see the arising phenomena of that feeling and the passing away phenomena of that feeling. So it is again that Samadhi Bhavana Sutta, that meditation, keep on coming. Having done it many, many times, That one comes in. Our mind is an amazing thing because it's actually constructing whatever thing you used to construct. You see, if you start singing something, you keep on singing. Whether you like it, my sons sometimes say that, you know, I can't stop this thing coming up like that. Why? Because we construct. So we have the tendency to, that's the way that mind works. So if you actually keep on contemplating the arising phenomena and passing away phenomena, then you tend to think about the arising phenomena and passing away phenomena. So regarding the matter, you have that arising and passing. And when you have the feeling, then you actually see the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. Similarly for the thoughts and similarly for the Dhamma things. So this you know, the four paths we were talking about, that 40 Dhamma actually help you with, in great respect, that the four foundations of mindfulness meditation we do is the one actually doing. It's very slow development. I mean, the first 6 months or something when I have done that one, well, I was actually thinking, am I mindful, am I sort of thing? And then I actually see that little, yes, I have a little bit before then that one. So with years of meditation, it comes up.
And actually, because if you work mindfully, maybe a lot of people don't mindfully do things at home, but at work people do the things mindfully.
Mm.
That's why you can, when you do things, if you do mindfully, you can easily troubleshoot if something goes wrong, what you have been doing, you know. And if you haven't done mindfully the process for the day that you have done at work, if something goes wrong, you don't know where it went wrong. If you do mindfully, you know the next point, you know that, yes, I did wrong this one. So you can go and correct, something like that. Yeah, I think because...
That applies.
Yeah.
That particular one keeps on applying to the the unskilled states as well.
Mm.
You see, that is a good example. So having done this one, and then you actually... Let's say you did something bad. And then you, after that one, well, I watched that TV or I watched that particular thing or I killed that animal or something like that. And then you recontemplate about the same thing. No, I should not do that one sort of thing. So you are correcting yourself as well. So it's basically it is the developing the skill state of the mind and getting from the unskilled state of the mind. It is this, as this earth is actually, we are sustained on the earth. We are... The whole thing is sustained on the merits, skill states. The whole Dhamma, you know, the going forward is sustained in the skill states.
And again, for another example, actually, because that what I think it's an example, because when I used to sweep the floor or something earlier, I just swept that, and I wouldn't have seen any of the insects or ants or things like that. But when I do it now, if there is an ant or any other insect, I could see that because from my mind is thinking that, and my mind knows that I shouldn't kill animals. So because of that, I can see that.
Mm. Yeah. So whenever you maintain the skill states of the mind, that's the one actually uplifting your mind. So the whole thing is actually something to do with that one. You can't attain dhyana, concentrations, unless you maintain the skill states of the mind. You know, I've refrained from this killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and then refrain from lying, harsh speech, frivolous talks, and slander. And then the having seen something, do not regard this, let this be mine sort of nature. Maybe some people are buying stocks sort of thing, and let it go, it's not mine. Okay. Like that, you know, that it's the normal greedy nature. You know, if someone is doing, somebody else is doing sort of thing. And then having seen someone, let this guy be dead. That sort of thought should not be there. And then the wrong view has to be got rid of. So if you maintain that one, then there is this, the higher concentrations can be achieved. Shall we stop for today? Yeah.